The Upset Consenters Podcast. I'm Jared.
And I'm Iman.
And we're your hosts of this episode of the Upset Consenters. Joining us today, we have our co-host, Farshad.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah. And as always, this is a show where we explore the ever-evolving and intriguing world of application and cloud security. But before we get into today's discussion, we have a few items to take care of. So first off, we will be, at the Developers Week in San Francisco. That's February 15th to 23rd. So if you are in the Bay Area, feel free to come and say hello. We have also recently launched the beta of our Eureka DevSecOps platform. Check out our site and join the beta program. If you're an AppSec professional looking for an opportunity to work with some of the best in the industry, that's me and Iman and Farshad and Jordan and Daniil and all the rest, or if you're a developer with an interest in cybersecurity, be sure to check out our careers page at forwardsecurity.com/careers. Lastly, if you're not already subscribed, please consider subscribing and share with anyone who you think may enjoy listening. That would mean a lot to us. Okay, well, it's good to see everybody.
Also, I believe like today's episode is about future of application security, AI and machine learning.
Yeah.
And I believe all of us, we have heard of ChatGPT and, you know, the crazy stuff that this bot can do. And we want to discuss how we can leverage ChatGPT or machine learning stuff in application security. And we want to talk about benefits and challenges of using those technologies. And I can ask Farshad to start to talk about what are the benefits of using machine learning in application security. Is there any benefit, or this is just a hoax?
I definitely think there are benefits, not just in application security, as you know, in many other areas, but particularly within application security, the benefit is that you can leverage, you know, large data sets and be able to make certain conclusions or decisions about certain scenarios. And of course, as we know, AI is only as good as the data set that it has and the model that it has. So I think in the not too distant future, we'll see AI systems that have access to large amounts of vulnerability data, and then we'll be able to make a decision about what is a vulnerability when they see something that looks like one. It's almost, I guess, an extension of you know, so, you know, in the old, let's take antivirus, for example. I know in the old days, we had signature-based antivirus systems, and then, you know, the folks got smarter in terms of making viruses, and they started making viruses that were polymorphic, and signature-based detection didn't work. So we had to come out with heuristic-based models. AI could be the next level of that, you know, taking that to a whole other level where you can make decisions based on what is malware, based on certain criteria and certain amount of data that is in the model. So yeah, I think it's going to make a huge impact in cybersecurity. We'll be able to better determine what is malware, what's vulnerability in code and application security, as you were asking, and things like that. But yeah, Jared, what do you think?
Well, I'm actually curious, and I feel like Iman, you would know more about this than I do. Where are we at right now? So if I were to, for instance, give, ChatGPT, okay, it's text-based, so you can't give it an executable file, but if you give it some code, let's say code for malware, do you think it would know what it is?
I believe, you know, based on I've done some tests over ChatGPT, and one of the interesting things that I've found is it is able to find bugs in the code. And but you know, there are some false positives and there are some stuff that it misses. For example, I passed a solidity code to ChatGPT with the reentrancy attack vulnerability, and it was pretty nice. It was able to detect the line of code, it was able to write mitigation, but wow. Also, like, on the other hand, I provided another vulnerable code that was vulnerable to denial of service and in a smart contract, but it was not able to find that. And on the other hand, also, I've checked the code generation ability. I had a data set and I provided the columns of the data frame in Pandas Python, the Python Pandas, and I asked ChatGPT to write some code and create a graph based on this. And it has written a d3.js code. It's a library for creating charts. And I copy-paste the code. It was not working. And after spending 20 minutes, I found that ChatGPT has included the version 5, but it is writing the code in version 4. And because of that, you know, And it was not able to debug the code, debug the issue. And it's not a silver bullet right now, but I assume that, you know, ChatGPT is pretty scary, especially in the future. It's going to eradicate many jobs. And but it's not like, you know, when there was no tractor, you know, when tractor came to the farms, everyone, they were afraid of like losing their jobs. But, you know, with ChatGPT or tractor or new technology, there will be new jobs, actually. And those are the tools that we should use to improve our productivity. Like there was a podcast with Sam Altman and the other guy at Tesla, and they were talking about this, that one of the developers at Tesla, he has increased his productivity 3 times more by using Codex of ChatGPT. A Codex of OpenAI, actually. And they're generating some codes. You know, we should learn how to use these tools. And, you know, benefits of using ChatGPT and machine learning, I believe there are few of them. We can use them in automated vulnerability scanning. And, you know, we are in our tests, we use ASVS, OWASP ASVS. And one of the issues that we have, some of the items are not easy to be automated. For example, some of them are very easy, like checking the cookie flags or all of the stuff, but access control stuff, they're not easy to test. And it's interesting. I asked ChatGPT to write a unit test for a function, and I copy-paste the function. It was able to write the unit test for the function. And I asked ChatGPT to write like end-to-end tests to test the access control issues. And it was able to write an end-to-end test to test the access control issues. It's very interesting. You can copy and paste like all the API endpoints, and you can type the roles that you have, and it will create a code snippet for you. And you know, everyone knows that developers, they hate writing unit tests because they think this is time consuming and this is not that fruitful. But ChatGPT can help them to write unit tests and also write functional end-to-end security-related tests. And we can use this capability to help like our customers on finding ACL issues automatically, actually. And that's it. What do you think?
Yeah. That would be huge. Yeah, as a developer, I mean, you know, I was, before I got into security, I was a developer for 12 years. And if I'll be honest with you, I rarely wrote unit tests because, you know, it makes sense for a large application. But in the real world, you know, stakeholders and managers, they want the software now. They want it yesterday. And so there's barely enough time to write the application, let alone the test. And then it only makes sense if you expect that the software is going to be worked on for 2 years or something like that, you know, because then tests are going to speed you up. Like tests speed up your development over time, but it takes, let's say, 6 months to a year to get to the point where it starts speeding you up. Because you need all that scaffolding in the beginning with all the business logic that's been asked of you. So if I could get an AI to write the unit test for me, wow. Like, especially this is, it's great because you can, with ChatGPT, I can imagine, I haven't tested this, but I can imagine you can say, you give it a snippet of code and you say, I want to make sure that when I hit this endpoint, that I can only be this user and I have to, you know, and you can write it in very plain English terms and that it would give you a unit test. I mean, that's a great example of how, you know, in your analogy, tractors came and saved farmers rather than replaced them. And maybe it's, you know, replaced laborers and removed some more menial jobs. So maybe the analogy doesn't hold up entirely, but it does make the job of the farmer a lot easier. In this case, the job of the developer a lot easier. You know, the other thing would be interesting to check for is business logic issues. You know, it's hard. The reason why business logic issues get missed, and the reason why they're the most common security issue, I would say, is because there's no library to prevent, you know, somebody from putting in a negative value for a price or an incorrect format for I suppose there are some frameworks that help with that. If I mention very specific things, yeah, sure, okay. But there are definitely use cases where, you know, you are building a one of a kind product, and so there's no, the business logic has to do with this, you know, your this intellectual property that you're building, and so there's no framework to help with that. I'm trying to come up with an example on the fly. It'll come to me, but the point is that the reason why those security issues crop up so often is because you're bound to forget some, you know, going back to the price thing. Okay, so like allowing somebody to put in a negative price, right, doesn't make any business logic sense. But, you know, if you don't think about it and you just have a number input, it may not occur to you to make it an unsigned input or to put an absolute value on it or to validate that it's above zero or something like that. You know, when you're, let's say, when you're a retailer and you're adding prices to your products.
I can share my screen and show you some interesting stuff if you want.
Sure, yeah. And so while you're doing that, then I can imagine ChatGPT might be able to help you come up with some of these scenarios. You ask it, you know, I'm making a mortgage calculator, and I want the values at the end to be sent to my local bank or whatever. You know, you have all these requirements in it, and you can ask ChatGPT, hey, are there any vulnerabilities in this idea? Like, you know, is there any, because it is a business logic security flaw is kind of the idea, the vulnerability of the idea, it's not just raw input validation, right? The input validation is very specific to whatever the scenario is. So it'd be interesting to have an AI.
Let me share my screen and show you like an interesting thing. I don't know whether the people that are listening to us are able to see the screen. I assume that we are uploading this stuff on YouTube. Also, you know, here I asked ChatGPT to generate like an API, a Flask application API to generate QR codes. You see that, you know, this is the application that generates the QR code. And now I asked ChatGPT to write a unit test for that. It has written a unit test for that, like with this one sample. Now I asked ChatGPT to write a unit test to check access control issues for generate QR. As you can see, it understood this. And you know, it has written two tests, one for unauthorized access and the other for authorized access with two different bearer tokens.
And so what, can you scroll to the left again? I want to see, what is the code doing? It pulls in the authorization bearer token.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't assert. Okay.
Yeah, it's like a simple thing, but it prevents a lot of issues, actually. Like this simple test prevents a lot of issues. Yeah. And I want to hear Jordan's opinion also. But, you know, Jared, you should go ahead, actually.
I want to take a look. I made a little list of the things that I feel like we should cover. Let me ask you, Farshad, you've been silent on all this. Do you think ChatGPT could replace SAST? Since SAST can't look for some of these things like business logic or ACL.
And SAST, I mean, that seems like it'd be a prime candidate for it, right? Because what does SAST do? SAST has got a set of rules, and then it goes and looks at the code and does a rule matching. So it's kind of similar to what we were saying with the old school antivirus tools, where they just had signatures and went and looked for the signatures. That doesn't work so well when the signature changes and you can't really make deductions or conclusions. You're limited to your rule sets or your signatures, right? So current SAST offerings are just that, a bunch of rules. And so what we want to do is leveraging AI, you can make conclusions, not just based on rules, based on a large data set and based on patterns. So I think that's actually a prime candidate. And in fact, our Eureka product is hoping to add AI features that it can add in, that they can ingest all the different issues that are reported from SAST and other tools, and then make conclusions about what's an actual vulnerability and what may not be a vulnerability. So yeah, I think given the way SAST tools work, it's a perfect candidate for being replaced by AI very soon. So I don't tell that to any SAST vendors, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the way that it works right now, it doesn't seem to, you know, it doesn't do a perfect job. The nice thing about SAS is that generally speaking, you know, it's not AI. So generally speaking, it's using patterns, which means you're going to get false positives. But what I've seen from ChatGPT so far when I've run these tests is that you get a lot of false negatives. It'll leave things out because it doesn't know to search for them. It's things that SAS would have caught. And so, you know, I personally don't know enough about AI to say why that's the case. But
what did you do, for example? That sounds interesting.
So I gave it some vulnerable code. And I said, you know, find the vulnerabilities in this. Actually, no, what I did was I asked it to write code. I asked it to write some kind of a simple UDP server in C or something like that. And then I said, are there any vulnerabilities in this code? And it said, there might be in here, or no, it said there is here, but if you replace this with a... it was something, you know, some memory corruption thing, because it's in C, right? But it was missing, and this is a while ago, maybe it was an HTTP server, because I think it was missing some kind of input validation. That seemed very obvious to me. So, you know, it's interesting that I think a SAS scanner would have found something like that, because it just looks for patterns. ChatGPT is sort of doing what... I think ChatGPT is just sort of regurgitating from, you know, its data banks of articles written on this kind of stuff in the past.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the problem. Like with the current version, the model is too small. And in fact, it probably doesn't even have a model that's focused on finding application security vulnerabilities. I think they're saying with the next version 4 that comes out, it's going to be what? I think the model is going to be 100 times larger. But, you know, again, it may not be focusing on application security vulnerabilities. Like the AI is as good as the data that is fed to, right? So what we're hoping to do with our product is really build a data set that focuses on application security vulnerabilities. And then you can, you know, when you, same idea, but when you ask it the question, it'll have the right data set to be able to make that conclusion and determine whether something is a problem or not.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we're starting to run out of time. So why don't we wrap it up here? And there's a lot of good questions to be asked. I don't know if there's going to be a comment section for this, but if there is, I would be very interested to hear what our listeners have to say. If they have any insights or questions, things that we can cover further. I would personally love to do some more research on this and come back with some answers for other people.